I want you to open your Bibles to two passages of Scripture this morning. I have on Sunday night trying to answer a few Bible questions, and we've had a lot of other things going on through the summer as well, so it's not worked out like I thought it might, but we've tried to answer most of the questions. Didn't have quite as many questions this year turned in as we have in the past. Through the summer, I try to answer Bible questions on Sunday night. But tonight, we're having a good friend who's been with us many times in camp meeting and all. Brother David Bray is going to be with us. Brother David is pastor up in Promise Baptist Church up in Reidsville, North Carolina. But he also has a ministry now working with children and with foster children programs and adoption programs. And he's going to be here tonight to share with us some things about the plight of children here in our nation and about what our heart ought to be. Now, along that line, there were some questions turned in that I'm going to share kind of with you this morning quickly along that line. But I want to look at a passage of Scripture here in the book of, first of all, let's go to Matthew chapter, did I say 19? Matthew chapter number 19. I want you to turn there. We're going to read first there, and then I'm going to come back to Mark chapter 10. But in Matthew chapter 19, I'm going to begin reading with verse number 13. Matthew 19 and verse 13. Then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Now turn over to the book of Mark, chapter number 10. Mark chapter 10, also we begin in verse number 13, and I'll read a brief passage of Scripture here as well. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 13. And they brought unto him young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Now will you bow with me for prayer? Father, again, I want to thank you for the blessed privilege of being in the house of God. Thank you for the good singing of the choir. Thank you, our Father, for Brother Brad and God for the way you've used him, he and his family. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Bobby, Lord, for Pansy playing this morning. And God, for the privilege of being here, for the many guests gathered in the building and in the radio audience and the internet audience. And now, Father, I pray that God, that Holy Ghost of God, take complete control of me now. God, I pray you'd purge my mind and heart. Give me your anointing and power. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. In the strong name of Jesus, I rebuke every devil and every demon and plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over this place. Lord, please don't let anybody in the sound of my voice die and go to hell. I pray, God, they'd all be saved and be in heaven. I pray, God, that, Lord, that every Christian, Lord, would be right with you. And God, do grant revival. I pray, God, you'd move among us this morning. Thank you for the blessed privilege of being here. And I'll praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of the time when I give you an opportunity to ask questions, invariably there are a lot of questions about heaven. Now, there are a lot of things the Bible says about heaven, but a lot of things about heaven we don't know, we don't understand. And this year I got a few questions that related to children and heaven and some other things about heaven. And I feel like the Lord had me this morning to share some things with you about heaven. Most of you are aware of the fact that in the Word of God, heaven is mentioned, and there are three different aspects or levels of heaven. There's the heavens, the Bible says, that he created the fowls of the air, and they fill the heavens. That is this air around us, the atmosphere around the earth. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is where the stars are and all the planets that are out there. And every time they develop a new telescope, they find some more. And God's created all that vastness. And David said, "When I consider the stars, the moon, the work of thy hand, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" You don't have to go very far away from this planet till you see the insignificance of this place and of this planet as it compares to all this vast universe. And yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the second heaven. That's where the stars and planets are. The third heaven is the residence of God. That's where God lives. You say, "Brother Billy, what's in heaven?" Well, the Bible says it's the throne of God. God is in heaven. Our Heavenly Father's in heaven. You remember when the Lord taught us to pray in the book of Matthew, chapter 6? He said, you pray like this, Our Father, which art in heaven, is the throne of God. It's where He lives. Over and over again in the Bible, you'll go through and you'll notice that it talks about it being the very place of God and where God is in heaven. It is the residence that's the place where God dwells. It's a place called heaven. It certainly is the place where you and I, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, will end up one of these days. We get to go to heaven. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. What is heaven like? I don't have time to go into all of it, but there's so many wonderful passages of scriptures. But I do want to, in related to some of the questions that were asked me, I want you to look in your Bible, please, in the book of 1 Corinthians. And I want to go, first of all, to chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And notice what it says in this passage of scripture, verse number 12. You and I have a wonderful relationship with one another. That is, those in this church, many guests and visitors who are here that don't know me and I don't know you. But I'm thankful for you, and I pray I can see your face. And I remember things about you. And I remember so many things about Keith and his sister and then all of his wonderful family. His daddy was one of my most precious friends. And I remember, never will forget the day, my wife and I were visiting the hospital over in Greensboro, North Carolina. I was pastoring there in Reedsville. And I got a phone call and said that Brother Harvey Meadows had died. I couldn't believe it. We wept all the way back until we got where Ann was at, his wife. And Harvey went home to be with the Lord, just like that, a relatively young man, had a massive heart attack. But I can see Harvey now, and I think about this truth. I had the privilege of seeing him baptized him. I'm glad he knows the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know just as sure as I'm standing here, I'll see him again. I knew a lot about him. Now watch what it says in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 13. And I call your attention down to verse 12. He said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I'm known. When he talks about a glass darkly, he talks about the fact that we see a lot of things now very dimly. We don't quite get a full picture of what heaven's like or what everything is going to be like. But he said this, there's coming a day that we'll see face to face, and then we'll know even as we're known. People ask me, do you think we'll know one another in heaven? I love Dr. B.R. Lakin's answer to that question. He said, I'd hate to think I've got less sense when I get to heaven than I've got now. He said, I know you now, I'll know you then. But I tell you, beyond that, not only do you know people now because you have met them, you've interacted with them, and you fellowship with them, and you know them, because of experience, you know them. You know of some people because you've read in a book about them, or you've seen a picture of them and you know something about them like that. You've read about Bible characters in the Bible and about Moses and Joshua and about all the prophets and all the different ones, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know about all of them because you've read about them, but you've never seen them face to face. But here's the amazing thing I believe about heaven. When you get to heaven, not only will you know your loved ones, not only will you know your acquaintances, your friends down here, but you'll know everybody in heaven. Right now, you have a hard time with names. I used to be pretty good with names, but I've got where I forget people's names. And if I look at you and say, hey, brother, I'm glad to see you. Amen. I really am. But I might not remember your name. But, you know, when you get to heaven, you'll know even as you're known. You remember when the Lord was translated and there was Moses up there and Elijah? The prophet, the disciples knew who they were. They recognized them. Why? Because when we get to heaven, we'll have that knowledge of one another. We'll know them. We'll know them just like we know everybody else. You'll know your loved ones when you get to heaven. You'll understand that. You'll recognize them when you get to heaven. Yes. The answer to that question is yes. I thank God that He gives us that wonderful privilege that we can be saved and our children can be saved. And not only can we love our children as long as we live or as long as they live, but thank God if they're saved, we get to love them forever and forever and forever, and we'll know them and we'll embrace them. The Bible says when He comes in the air, He said the dead in Christ are going to rise first. That's who already died and their bodies are buried. When they die, they are absent from the body but present with the Lord. And at the rapture of the church, not only does he come back, but he says he brings them with him. Their bodies resurrected, body changed like unto his glorious body. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be changed as well. And this corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal put on immortality. Then we'll be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. My dear friend, listen. And we'll meet our loved ones in the air. And we'll know them. You'll know them. Those who died. I've never known my grandparents. When I was born, I didn't have any grandparents. They'd already died and gone on. Never had any grandparents to go visit or play for them to buy me anything like my wife does all our grandchildren. But but they were wonderful. I've heard so many things about it. I sure would like to see them. I sure would look forward to get to see them. My granddad was a preacher. And I'd love to see him and see what he was like and know him. And I will know him one of these days when I see him face to face, and I'll know even as I'm known. My dear friend, when you get to heaven, yeah, you'll know your loved ones. You'll know them, and God's made it that a way that you get to know them. But now, what else about heaven is important? In the book of Revelation, I want to just share a quick thing with you. If you can imagine everything that would just give you such a peace and joy, it's in heaven. And for instance, the Bible said in the book of Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, those who are in heaven have come to the place of rest. Rest. They come to that place of complete rest. That means more than just being weary and your body recuperating in a place called heaven. It has to do with a sense of complete rest. Have you ever been to a place where you was at and it was so peaceful and wonderful and blessed? And you say, I wish I didn't have to go back to work. I wish I didn't have to go back through the traffic in Raleigh. I wish I could just stay here, because there was such a sense of contentment and satisfaction. That word rest means more than just recuperation or just resting from exhaustion. It has to do with this sense of perfect peace and perfect contentment in a place called heaven. He knows everything we need, and he will satisfy our every need, and we'll be perfectly at home in heaven. And then when you come to Revelation 21 in verse number 4 is that wonderful passage where it said there's no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. Thank God for that. Heaven's a place where there's no sorrow and where there's no pain. That's their people. I was thinking about this as I was praying, looking over the messages. I've pastored wonderful people who have suffered so. Brother Jesse right now has been going through a time of suffering. And I remember Sister Elise and the boys all here this morning. And I Sister Elise and her little hands. I got just a little tinge of something right here in these two knuckles. Now, I don't know what it is. It might be pointing at my wife or something. I don't know, but anyhow, it's just a little bit. But her little hands were like that. And she'd come on to church, and she'd work around the house, and she'd cook big meals at Christmas. And every time she moved her hands, it was pain. But thank God, when she left that little body behind, went into the presence of God, she's never had another pain. She'll never have another one. Amen. And that glorious body that she has will have no pain. Some of you are suffering today from physical pain, emotional pain, all those type of things. But there's no pain in heaven. Thank God. Heaven's a wonderful place where there's no pain and no sorrow and no death. Wonderful. No sickness and no more tears. And then in Revelation 22 and verse 3, it said the curse has been, well, no curse there. No curse there. And all the curse will be gone. Heaven's a wonderful, wonderful place. But then the question is raised, who goes to heaven? Who gets to go to heaven? Can I tell you that this is what this Bible's about? It's magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's telling about heaven. But I want you to look at just a couple of passages of scriptures this morning. And very familiar to all of us, John chapter 14. Will you look there? Who gets to go to heaven? In John chapter 14, here's what it says in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you know he wants you to go to heaven? I want you to know every person in this building. I don't know all of your names. Every person in the internet audience, the radio audience, I don't know your name. But he knew you before the foundation of the world, and he wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to be where he's at. He prayed in John 17, Father, I pray that they might be where I am. They might behold my glory. But pick back up, please, verse 3 again. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, where's he at? Where's Jesus at right now? The Bible said at his ascension, he ascended back into heaven. And the angel said, you men of Galilee, why standing? This same one who's taken up into heaven will so come in like manner again. Jesus is in heaven. God the Father's in heaven. And that's where Jesus is at. And he's in that place called heaven. And he wants you to go there. And where thy go, you know, and the way you know. He said, you know how to get there. You know how to get to heaven. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now I could go through, and I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 scriptures written down that I could read to you this morning. And there's many more than that about who gets to go to heaven and how they get to go. But can I make it just in one simple statement? Who gets to go to heaven? Saved people. Saved people. If you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's only one way to heaven. There's no other way. You say, well, that's narrow. Absolutely. The Bible said it's narrow. There's only one way. There's none under the name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. That's under heaven. That means heaven, under heaven in America, under heaven in the Philippines, under heaven in Russia, in Ghana, in Syria, or in Iran. There's only one way to go to heaven. There's only one name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. He said, if you believe on me, you can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can save you, but he's the only one who can take you to heaven. He said, I am the door. He's the way into heaven. He's the door to heaven. He's the only way to get to heaven. It's by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That's how you get to heaven, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Invariably, people ask me when they ask questions and then in confidence sometime about children. What about children? What's the age of accountability? There's really no such thing in the Bible as the age of accountability. Some people say that age 12 because Jesus went to the temple at age of 12, but there's no such thing as that. Who gets to go to heaven? Those who believe the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But let me talk to you a minute about children. Some things, sometimes people ask me my opinion about things, and I believe I can give you my opinion about some things. Specifically, there's some who want to know about babies who die in infancy. What about babies who die in infancy? I'm speaking now not from a direct biblical verse, but from what the Word says about my Heavenly Father. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Let me show you another passage of Scripture. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 18. Matthew chapter 18, and let me show you something. Who gets to go to heaven? Those who recognize they are sinner, those who know they're lost, and those who accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord get to go to heaven. Listen to what it says in the book of Matthew. In the same time came the disciples unto him, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoso therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in me, it were better for them that a millstone were hanged about their neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Listen, I'll drop down to verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. Now, I'll tell you what I can tell you from this passage of Scripture. If I read it correctly, that somehow or another there is a great affinity, a great love. He loved the whole world. But it seems that in this passage of Scripture, he's indicating his great love for children, the preciousness of children. He told Jeremiah, he said, I formed you when you were in the womb. He formed them. David said, I'm wonderful and fearfully made. And when my parts as yet were secret, nobody even knew what my hands looked like, what my eyes looked like. He said, you've made me, you fashioned me. God has a wonderful purpose in the creative act of children. I know he does it through procreation, a man and a woman. But it seems to me that the very heart of God is found in the womb of a woman when that baby is being formed. There's not one of you in here that has a hatred for children. There seems to be something. And I saw Chasen walk in there a while ago, and I'm not sure if he had the boy or the girl. Couldn't tell that far away. I can't tell when I'm up close to him, to be honest with you, but the twins. But I saw him walk in. Boy, he's such a great big daddy. He had that little bitty baby in his hand. But I thought about what I'd read in the Bible. And God said to Jeremiah, I formed you in the womb. I mean, the very hands of God formed that little one. I tell you, there's a great love for God for children. And you say, Brother Billy, what about aborted babies? I believe God loves them too. I believe God loved them too. I can't find a verse in the Bible. I can't tell you that every baby that dies in infancy is in heaven. But I can tell you something about the Lord. I believe he's a loving, just God. I got an idea that they're all going to be in heaven. I'm not basing what nobody else said or whatever, but I will say, I mentioned Dr. B.R. Lakin. I heard him preach the greatest message I've ever heard in all my life. He preached it at Jerry Falwell's. I was there when he preached on heaven. He had a precious child to die. And I heard Dr. B.R. Lakin preach the greatest message I've ever heard in all my life on heaven. And it was his opinion that because of the grace and mercy of God, that these little ones who die in infancy, well, you said, Brother Billy, suppose they were never actually born. Suppose they were stillborn to die. He still formed them. He still formed them. Oh, you say, Brother Billy, if that's your case, dear lady today, and you had a child that died in infancy, or even something else happened, what about it? Will I know him when I get to heaven? Oh, sure. Sure. You'll know the prophets in days gone by. Why would he not want you to know the fruit of your womb? Why would he not? You say, Brother Billy, will I ever get to hold my little one? Will I ever get to be? Again, I'm not giving you a Bible. I'm just giving you what I think. I heard a dear preacher say, and I had a lot of confidence in him. He said, you know what? He said, somehow in my mind, in the millennial reign of Christ, it's a different situation. We're here on the earth, and we live in much like we do now in the millennial when Christ rules and reigns on the earth for 1,000 years. He said, somehow I believe that God will allow you to see your children grow up that you didn't get to see grow up. I don't know if that's so or not. That may be simplistic, maybe sentimentality. I don't know. But there's just something about that. You know what he said? He said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. It could be, couldn't it? Wouldn't it be a good desire for a godly mother who lost a baby in infancy to say, I sure would like to be able to hold her close to my breast one time. I sure would like to see her grow up and become a young lady. Well, the Bible said they'll do that during the millennial reign of Christ. They'll grow. And they'll live and they'll prosper during the millennial reign of Christ. But I can assure you this, I don't know about all of that, but I can promise you one thing, that they're in the hand and the grace of God. And the Bible said, you'll know even as you're known. Sure, you know them. Sure, you know them. And they'll be together. Now, will they stay a baby forever? Will they be a baby forever in heaven? My wife and I have a precious little girl who went to heaven when she was just before she's 3 years old. And the most beautiful auburn hair you've ever seen. But when I see her, what will she look like? I'm not sure what she'll look like then, but I do know this. I'll know her. I'll know her. I am convinced that in eternity that we'll be all adult. We'll have a body like in his glorious body. But what a blessing it is to know that you'll be there with your loved ones for all eternity in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes people ask me this question, who'll go to heaven? I'll say this without any shadow of a doubt. Any person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusts him as their Savior, they have everlasting life. They are born again by the grace of God. And you got to understand what the concept of salvation is. I use the illustration sometime. If you're down on the coast and somebody's drowning and they call out for the lifeguard and the lifeguard jumps off the stand and runs down and he goes through and he rescues them and he pulls them safely to shore. And he didn't go to all these other people, just the one who called, just the one who was drowning and knew he was in trouble, knew he couldn't help himself. And he said, you know, help, I need help. And the lifeguard goes and he rescues him, pulls him from the water. Not everybody else, but just the one who called. That's true. But I want to remind you, it's not like he throwed him a rope and you hold on to a rope. And as long as you're holding on to the rope, everything's okay. But if you cut the rope loose, you fall. That's not what salvation's all about. It's not a matter of my just adhering to some doctrinal stand. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And when you get saved, it's more than you just accepting something. It's more than you just holding on to Him. There's a birth that takes place. You become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And you get born again by the grace of God. And when you're born again by the grace of God, you don't ever get unborn. None of you have ever been unborn. You've not always obeyed mom and daddy. You've not always done perfectly. But you've always been their child regardless of what happened. My dear friend, when you get saved, I believe the Word of God teaches, it's not Baptist, it's biblical, that when you get saved, you get everlasting life. They'll never come into condemnation. They're His. And so the question's asked me of this quite often. Suppose somebody commits suicide. Do they go to heaven? I'm going to give you my opinion based on what I believe about the nature of salvation. That is, when you get saved, you're saved for all eternity. You become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Can a Christian get a cold? That's not a deep theological question. It's pretty easy to answer. No need going any further. You can't answer that one. Can a Christian get a cold? Can a Christian get cancer? Yes. You can have any kind of disease there is. You're in a mortal body. You're in a corruptible body. When a person gets really, really scared, the body pumps adrenaline into the body. The heart rate raises, the pulse rate, of course, the heart rate picks up, and there's anxiety. There's a keen awareness, and there's a sense of anxiety and maybe fear, desperation, and the mind responds to the feet, and the feet run, and it's all becomes not just what you see and not just what you hear and not just what you think, but it gets to be a physical thing after a while. There are stages of depression that get beyond emotional. It gets to be physical. When a person's going through something and it may be because of medication or maybe whatever, but the things that take place in your body, whether it's not just how you're thinking, but there are chemical changes that take place in your body. Paul said, I'd have you to know this, that there was a time troubles came on me, and it was beyond measure, above strength, I even despaired of life. He wrote 13 books of that Bible. David said, oh, that I had wings as a dove and I'd fly away. I'd fly away. Sometimes anybody, Christian or not, there are things that may happen in your life where somebody gets so deeply in depression that it's not something you can snap out of. It becomes a physiological thing. It has something to do with your body chemistry and all those things. And there are medications in the grace of God. Can God heal a man of alcoholism like that? Yes. Could God do this? Yes, He does. Does He always do that? Not always. I'm just telling you that people can get themselves in a mess. You're in a mortal body. If you read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, he lists all the great heroes of faith. Oh, there's Abraham, and there's Moses, who chose to suffer the afflictions rather than to live as Pharaoh's child. And the great heroes of the faith are there. And he lists them all. And then he gets down, and time would fail me to list all of them. And then he begins to run them off. And in the middle of those names is a name of a man named Samson. Anybody remember Samson? He's one of the judges. You know how he died? He had defiled his separation. He allowed Delilah to cut his hair off. He lost his strength. They poked at his eyes. They put him in bondage. Over a period of time, God wrought repentance in his heart. He repented and sought God. And they brought him into that great temple. His hair had grown back. And he prayed a simple prayer. And he said, God, I pray that one last time, simple something, paraphrase, you'd give me strength. And they put him between the pillars of that temple. Thousands of people there. And he took the pillars of that temple. He pulled it down and the whole temple collapsed on him and everybody in it. I don't know how the coroner, when he came to diagnose what Samson happened to him, he could say, well, you know, big old boulder fell and hit him on the head and he died. But the truth of the matter is, you know how he died? Suicide. He killed himself. That thing fell. And the Bible said he killed more in his death than he did in his life. Am I excusing it? No. Well, people say, well, Brother Billy, the Bible said, thou shalt not do murder. And if they murder yourself, that's breaking the commandment. The Bible said, if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of all. Did you know that everybody in this building is guilty of committing and breaking all the whole law? Every one of them. Also, if somebody says that, well, you know, they commit self-murder, then they can't repent. You're assuming that every person who's ever died had nothing in their heart of life that they had not confessed to the Lord. When I got saved, God forgave me of all my sin, past, present, and future. And when I disobey the Lord now, when I sin, it does not affect my relationship with Him. I'm still His son. But it breaks my fellowship with Him. And I'm not in right relationship with Him, so far I can't fellowship with Him, and I may lose the joy of my salvation, but I don't lose my salvation. And I got an idea that there's a lot of people who've died, and they had something in the heart of their life that wasn't just perfect. You know what I'm saying? But Jesus Christ died for all of our sin, past, present, and future. And He forgave all of them. Now, you may not agree with me on that, and that's okay. You believe what you want to believe. But I'm just trying to tell you what I believe to be a biblical fact. That is, when you get saved, you're saved for all eternity. You think that's a good way to go, Brother Billy? No. Certainly not. Certainly not. But, my dear friend, listen. When God saves you, He loved you. It's tragedy that some people in the sound of my voice and the radio internet audience have loved ones or friends. They've gone through this with them. Can I ask you a question? Did you love them less after they did that than you did before? Can I tell you what God said? God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He loved them. I pray for your families. Do I have any answers? I don't have any answers. I'm just telling you what I know to be so. That if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you get saved by the grace of God, you live forever. Live forever. I want to live my life to the full. I want to finish out my age. Somebody said something about retiring. And I don't plan to retire. Maybe a day when I don't pastor, but I won't ever retire. I won't ever retire. Be like Brother Kerry Watkins. He's almost 95 years old. I'd just rather leave on out of here one of these days. But be preaching the week before, the day before, the night before, the day before. I don't want to die in the pulpit. I've heard people say, I want to die in the pulpit. Lord have mercy. I don't want to die in the pulpit. For your sake, I don't want to die in the pulpit. If the Lord please, I mean, if He wants me to, that's all right. But I tell you, it'll really break up a service in a hurry if the preacher dies. I don't want to die in the pulpit. Who gets to go to heaven? Number one, only those who've been believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there are special cases of children. And I talked about infancy. I have people give me questions sometimes. How about children who are severely mentally retarded? I believe that God's grace and mercy can take care of that situation too. And now, last part of the question is probably what we ought to consider. Who doesn't get to go to heaven? Who doesn't get to go to heaven? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. People that are lost go to hell for all eternity. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, he gives a long list of people, and you may fall into that category. He said in Matthew and in chapter number 7 and verse number 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you cursed, you workers of iniquity. There are a lot of people who have made shallow professions of faith, not real, not genuine. They've been born again by the grace of God. There are some people, and they won't be in heaven, and there'll be people not in heaven who believe they're good enough to go to heaven. I don't believe there's one person here today who's genuinely saved that says, I'm good enough to go to heaven. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Mercy. Not works. But those who think they're going to go to heaven because of good things they've done will not go to heaven. They just won't. It's evident by the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified in his sight. There's only one way of justification. That is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Those who have a shallow profession of faith, that's not genuine and real, church membership, baptism, but no experience with God, will not go to heaven. Those who think they're going to go to heaven because they're good enough or they've done good enough works will not go to heaven. You go through and you read the list. He talks about this group, that group, that group. Turn over to the book of Revelation, if you will, please, in chapter number 21. There are several times in the Bible it lists groups of people, or individuals, and specifically groups of people and thought and about people that will not go to heaven. And I don't want to make it too general this morning, but in Revelation, I call your attention to chapter 21, and I'll be there in just a second. Revelation chapter 21, we look at verse number 8. In Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8, and he carried me away in the spirit in a great high mountain and showed me the great city, the whole holy city, New Jerusalem, descended from God out of heaven, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto the stones of precious, most precious, even like jasper and clear. And he goes on and talks about all that wonderful place called heaven. He talks about the goodness of it and the blessedness of a place called heaven. But oh, listen, he said in verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderer and the whoremonger and the sorcerer and the idolater and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I just call your attention briefly to that list. The fearful and the unbelieving. You say, Brother Billy, will smoking take you to hell? Will drinking take you to hell? Will adultery take you to hell? Will homosexuality take you to hell? Those people who live and practice those things, here's the key, there's the unbelieving. Those who have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are lost for eternity. And they'll never, ever be saved. Look back. You're here in 21. Will you look back just a few verses back? Verse 15 of chapter number 20. And whoso was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's one thing not to get to go to heaven. But there's no such thing as soul annihilation. What that means is this. That teaching says that when you die, you're like a dog or anything else. You die and you're gone. There's no, it's just over. It's like lights go out and that's all there is to it. Like you go, you know, it's over. But that's not so. There is a place called hell. And it's one thing to say, I don't know if I want to go to heaven or not, but there's only two places you'll go, heaven or hell, for all eternity. And those who don't go to heaven end up in hell. The fearful, the unbelieving, and so on, they end up in hell for all eternity. But my dear friend, listen. I've passed a scripture I did not read that I had written down. He said there's a place called hell that he prepared for the devil and his angels. It's prepared for the devil and his angels, his demons. But for those who don't know Christ, they end up there in that place called hell. But he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to be saved. He's done everything he could. He loved you so much, he gave his own son. He's gave you the word of God. He sent people to pray for you, moms and dads, grandparents, Sunday school teachers, other people who prayed for you and begged you to get saved. When you die and go to hell, you can't point your finger at anything or anybody except yourself, the unbelieving. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. I'm like Brother Jesse Narr said about a lot of things. Brother Jesse, his favorite term was, I don't know all I know about that. And I don't know all I know about heaven. But I know enough about it to know this. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. I think maybe one of the best verses in all the Bible that describe heaven in simple terms, maybe, where I can kind of get a hold of it, get my mind wrapped around just a little bit, is actually an Old Testament back passage of Scripture. I want you to turn there and write it down or something. I've read it to you many times, but in Psalm 16, in verse number 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. The path of life is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to heaven. And he said, in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. I can just tell you one thing. Promise you, you'll enjoy it when you get to heaven. I promise you, you'll find rest when you get to heaven. You won't. There'll be no comment boxes sitting anywhere in heaven that if you're not treated right or you don't enjoy what you experienced, put it in there, because it won't happen. Perfect peace, perfect joy for all eternity. But first, before you can go, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Some of you have written some questions, good questions. I've dealt with several of those questions this morning. I hope you were listening. I hope they helped you. I'm thankful for the goodness of God. I've shared with you the Bible truth. I tried to make specific when I gave you what I think, my opinion. And it may not be real, but it's been good to me. Been a blessing. Our oldest daughter died with leukemia. I mentioned that earlier. I never got the privilege of baptizing her or see her walk down the aisle or see her grow as a Christian young lady. But many, many a night, we read the Word of God to her, prayed for her, prayed with her. I'm satisfied in my heart she'll be in heaven. You may try to contradict that or change my mind on it. But you might would try to do something else, because you won't ever do that. I'm fully persuaded that she'll be there and I'll know her. She'll know me and Mama. She'll know all of her siblings. Know all the rest of the family that's there. I'm telling you, it's just as real as it is right now. Heaven's a real place. Hell's a real place. And I'm going to just tell you, if I were you, I'd want to go to heaven, and there's only one way, and that's to be born again by the grace of God. Trust Him as your Savior this morning. I know He loves you and He died for you. And He said, if you'll turn from your sin, turn to the Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. Believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, that He bore all your sin on the cross. He paid for your sin debt. And that He died and was buried and rose again. You're willing to turn your life over to Him, trust Him, turn from your sin and turn to the Savior. humble yourself, he said, as a little child. If you'll humble yourself as a little child, I invite you this morning to take opportunity to bow before him in humility, acknowledge the fact you're a sinner, and receive him as your only hope of heaven. And I can promise you this. He said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. Will you call on him now? Will you look to him now? Will you stand with me, please? Just a moment, Brad will sing a verse of the song, whatever God leads him to do. I'm going to pray first. I'm going to invite you to come. If you're not saved, trust Jesus. I'm going to encourage you, if you're a Christian and you're not where you ought to be with the Lord, if there's anything between your soul and the Savior, I encourage you to make everything right between you and the Savior for your sweet fellowship. Your sweet fellowship with him, for your witness, so that your prayers might be answered, that you might pray for your family and see God do things. Pray God to do something in your heart this morning. If you're not saved, come trust Christ. You're Christian. Got anything, ought not be. And then there's some of you who are Christians. You may want to just bow before him. Yesterday, Gail Bird's birthday party, Hickory Grove sang, and they sang some great songs. They sang that song about the Lord being that constant friend. Boy, God just got a hold of my heart. I had always been a good friend to him, but he's always been a good friend to me. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And some of you might want to just get around this altar and just thank him for being that friend who sticks with you through thick and thin.